We have come to the final Christmas Mass in this chapel, because tomorrow is the last day of Christmas and we don't have Masses here on the great feast of the baptism of the Lord. So here it is, our last opportunity to celebrate Christmas. Tomorrow's feast, the baptism, is not only the end of Christmas, but also like the beginning of the next stage, because the baptism is the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. So it's a kind of a threshold feast. But here we are to celebrate Christmas. And Christmas has been a celebration not only of the birth of the child Jesus, but of the arrival of the Word made flesh, the arrival of the light of the world, scattering the darkness of this world. He's the very heart of the season. And that's why it's appropriate that we have as our theme for today, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. You can see it on your song sheet. Jesus Christ, He is the true God and eternal life. It comes from the end of today's first reading, which comes from the very end of John's first letter. What I'd like to do this morning is reflect on not only this part of a verse, but on the last few verses of the reading. I'll just reread them for you. We also know that the Son of God has come and has given us discernment to know the one who is true. And we are in the one who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Children, be on your guard against idols. You can see the emphasis of John at the very end of his letter on what is true. He mentions true three times. He's the one who is true. We are in the one who is true. He is the true God and eternal life. In contrast to what is true, what is false. And that's why he says at the end, be on your guard against idols, because idols are false gods. So there's the true God and there's the false God. What we're celebrating in the Christmas season is the arrival, the manifestation of the true God, the epiphany, you could say, of the true God. So this is what we celebrate. We know that the Son of God has come. He has come. That's what we celebrate. That's what the shepherds found. That's what the Magi found. The Son of God has come. And that's what we have found. He has come. He's here. And he has given us discernment to know the one who is true. Just because he has come, it doesn't mean that everybody will accept him or know him. Not everyone accepts what is true. There are plenty of lies in the world. There's lots of fake news, lots of falseness, lots of idols. But we have been given discernment to know the one who is true. That's Jesus. In today's gospel, we have the transition from John the Baptist to the ministry of John the Baptist to the ministry of Jesus. It's after Jesus is baptized, but before John is arrested, there's this little overlap, and that's what we have in the gospel. And the disciples of John are concerned that Jesus is rising in popularity and influence. They're afraid that John is going to lose. And John, because he knows the one who is true, and he knows that he himself is not the one, he declares it again very clearly. I've told you before, I'm not the one. I was the one sent ahead of him. So John testifies to the one who is true. He describes the one who is true as the bridegroom. There's only one bridegroom at a wedding. Anyone else who tries to take his place is certainly in disorder. He's lying. And John is saying, I'm not the groom here. I'm the best man. And the best man, who, if he takes his role properly, rejoices at the arrival of the groom. And then John says, this is a beautiful line. We can ponder this forever. That the best man stands and listens for him. He rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. This joy of mine has been made complete. John's joy is that the groom has come. His joy is that the light has come, that God has come. Like John said in the first reading, we know that the Son of God has come. That should give us joy, complete joy. And then John's last word here, he must increase, I must decrease. That's a way of putting the focus on Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, so John has made his testimony, and we're going to see it again tomorrow, John baptizing Jesus, and Jesus emerging as not just one of those to be baptized, but the one, and the voice from the Father in heaven will say, this is my beloved Son. You are my beloved Son. Okay, that's tomorrow. Let's go back to what it says here at the end of today's first reading. Yeah, the Son of Man has come, giving us joy, like the Magi rejoice, like the shepherds rejoice. And he has given us discernment to know the one who is true. And we are in the one who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, once we identify and accept the true God, we also gain an understanding of our true selves. So even though Christmas is a celebration of Jesus Christ coming, it's also a celebration of ourselves in him. Just like tomorrow, we celebrate Jesus' baptism, not only because of him, but because that opens the door for our baptism, so that we can become children of God. The transition is a very profound one. So we are in the one who is true. We are in his Son, Jesus Christ. He's true God and eternal life, and we have God. We have eternal life in him. This is referred to in a collect today, the opening reading of the Mass. That's why I brought this book over onto the podium. This is what we pray. This is the last prayer, the last collect before the solemnity or the feast of the baptism. Almighty ever-living God, who through your only begotten Son have made us a new creation for yourself. See how that prayer starts? God, you, through your only begotten Son, the one who is true, the one who has come, you made us a new creation for yourself. Grant, we pray, that by your grace we may be found in the likeness of him, in whom our nature is united to you. You see what happens? The better we know Jesus Christ, the more we draw close to him, the more we accept him, the more he increases and we decrease, the more we become ourselves. The more we grow in likeness of him, in whom our nature is united to God. So what we're celebrating here, yes, Jesus Christ, true God and eternal life, but he has come for us. Okay, so that's a beautiful high point of the Christmas season, to recognize that this is all being poured out on us. In fact, it was poured on us in our baptism. The last line, though, is this: children, be on your guard against idols. So we are in the true God, we have the true God, we have eternal life, we have life, but there is always going to be the opportunity to choose some alternative to the true God, an idol, a false God. It doesn't always look like a statue or some kind of a anting-anting or something like that. It's very often an image of ourselves that puts us in the place of God. See, this is the temptation that would have faced John the Baptist. Everybody thought he was a great guy. A lot of people even thought he was the Messiah. And he could have set himself up as an idol, or he could have chosen his own popularity or his own glory as a kind of idol. But he refused to do it. And when he said, he must increase, I must decrease, he recognized that his decreasing is actually the way for him to grow greater. This is the paradox of the cross, right? That the more we submit ourselves to God, the more we bow down before him, lower ourselves before him, the more he raises us up. The more we submit to the true God, the more he raises us up with eternal life. But the more we choose the idols, the more we bring ourselves down, away from God. So the warning is very important. And this is the last line of John's first letter. Be on your guard against idols. Because idols are not the true God, and they are not eternal life. Whenever we choose a substitute for God, we're depriving ourselves of life, of eternal life. So be on guard against idols. Idols can be possessions, they can be ideologies, they can be people, they can be, even be our own self-concept, they can be also other religious notions. There's lots of different idols. But there's only one true God, and that's Jesus Christ. And only in him do we have eternal life. So that's what we celebrate with Christmas, and that's a good way for us to understand what we receive in the great sacrament of baptism. We'll be celebrating Jesus' baptism tomorrow, and our, in a sense, our own baptism. And from baptism, we're launched into new life. And from the feast of the baptism, we're launched into the new season, ordinary time.